That's a glorious thing. Amen. We're in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read the first 9 verses. And we want to bring to you this morning, hopefully, an uplifting sermon. And it's called "The Word of God is Under Attack." The Word of God is Under Attack. And I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to see that. I think most anybody sees that our, not just America, but all across the land, you see that the word is being attacked as not being true. And so what are we to do? And Peter sort of answers that for us. 2 Peter chapter 3, first 9 verses. He said, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, and both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." Can I ask you to do something? If you have a pencil in your hand or a pen, if you see the word "words" are saying, so that you know that there's a word coming there, I want you to circle that for me, okay? So that he says, "I'm stirring up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus," or of the Lord and Savior. "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying," circle, "where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is a thousand years, is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, or his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Father God, we just worship and we honor you. Lord, when we gather together, it's not about a man, it's about you. Hallelujah. So we just stand in your presence for a moment and just worship and honor you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we just take control over our own minds today. And we just pray and we just put it in the hands of God for you to touch and mold and to renew and to speak into our lives and change the way we think. Father, I thank you, Lord, that I've been saved a long time, and yet you're continually changing the way I think. And I thank you for that. Lord, I do pray especially, Lord, that you continue to heal Mary, that you touch Beth, Father, by the power of the word of Christ. Heal her body. Lord, I know that through medical help, they're able to break up these kidney stones. But the truth of the matter is, Lord, you were breaking up kidney stones long before they knew how to. So I just ask, Lord, supernaturally, send a word and break those things up so that she can pass them like sand. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, I'm sure there's other people that are battling sickness. And I just pray and we just put them all together at the foot of the cross today and believing God for your healing touch on them. Now, Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that you would touch us, renew us, excite us, encourage us, strengthen us to stand in these last times. Father, we are your children. We are the remnant of the believers of Christ. And Father, we just pray and believe for great and mighty things. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Father God, we want to ask one more thing. We just pray for our little guys, Lord. We've got, Lord, 12 or 14, Lord, little ones, our babies, Lord, that's dedicating a week of their life. And Lord, I know that it's probably the fun and games that they went for, but I pray that they would have an experience with the Holy Ghost, that they would come back full of You and excited and change their families and change their schools and help us to change this world. So, Father, lay Your hand upon them as You have so many in the past. Lord, You gave Joseph a dream when he was but a young man and fulfilled it as a much older man. You're able to do that with these kids. I pray, Lord, that dreams and things, visions would be formed and fashioned in their hearts and minds. Be with our leaders. Keep them all safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God is under attack. Very much so. Peter is trying to stir these people up as he's ending his book. And he says this. He said, I'm trying to stir up your pure mind. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we may be a little schizophrenic. We may have like two minds going on up here, right? You know, the TV would picture it this way. On this shoulder you have the angel, and on this shoulder you got a little devil, right? And I sometimes think that devil is like 10 times bigger than that little angel. And that's what he's saying. He said, I want to stir up your pure mind, the one the angel is wanting to speak through. You know, I know as a minister of the gospel, part of my job is to teach. But more than teaching, I think I just stir up what you already know. I just try to get you to quit acting according to the old evil side and start acting under the influence of the pure mind that God. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that the Word of God is written on our hearts. It's there. We actually know what's right and wrong. We just don't always make the right choices. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You guys know that verse. It says the Word of God is good for correction, for reproof. I don't think it's up there. I didn't write it. I just was going to make mention of it. But the Word of God is to correct our thinking. That's why it's so incredibly important that you know the book, that you get in the book. If you're expecting to learn everything about Christianity by coming to church one time a week, you're going to starve to death. You've got to get in that book and find out what it says. You've got to open it up and digest it and just, you know, I heard today the scripture in Proverbs chapter 22, it says, train up a child. We all know that, right? And you even brought this up too. And the word train up there means to entice the palate. The old mothers, they didn't have baby food in a jar. So a long, long time ago, mamas used to chew the food up for the baby. And then they'd pull it out. And then the baby got to eat it. And what they were trying to do is they're trying to entice that baby's palate to like that food. Well, as fathers and mothers, that's what we are to do. We are to entice our children to go a certain direction. We're to train them up. We're showing them the way of faith. Now, the world has got a different picture it wants to paint for them. Satan is the greatest artist of all times. I hope you know that. He can paint a picture for our young people that they think, oh man, if I just do this, this is going to be wonderful. He never shows them the end result. Because the way of the transgressor is hard. It leads to death when you do your own thing. So it's the Word of God that helps us to correct our thinking. So you may have been brought up, if you were brought up worldly, you were brought up to where you have to self-promote. You have to take care of numero uno, take care of yourself. You've got to do certain things. And then the Bible, you got saved, and all of a sudden you start reading the Word, and it says you got to pick up your cross and follow me. Wow. How contrary can they be? And everything you learn, if somebody hurts you, you don't let them hurt you again. You get them back. Retaliation is the word on the street, right? And then the Word of God says, no, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. And even when someone says ugly things, you're to bless them. I'm telling you, the Word of God goes so contrary to the word on the street. And the Word of God is being is under attack right now. To a great extent, if we don't stand up now for what we know is true, there's coming a much, much worse day. We have got to stand. There's Christians all over this world that's being persecuted. We're not being persecuted yet. We're just being pushed. The world is trying to squash our voice out. They're trying to intimidate us. And now is not the time or the day to be intimidated. Now is the day and the time to stand up and say, this thus saith the Lord. So don't back down. And you may think it doesn't really matter. You know what I do at work. You know, I think it does. I think it really matters not only what we do in the church house, but what we do at your house. What we do at your workhouse. And God knows what we do in the White House. It matters. I believe with all my heart that the hedge has been lowered in America. The protective hedge. And I believe judgment is coming. I believe we need to take heed. And it's going to be very important for Christians to act and do right and to think right. Here's why it's so important to act right. Because your thinking determines your actions. You see, for a long time, the Christians have been trying to act right. When we need to quit acting right and start thinking right. And when we start thinking right, we will act right. It just follows suit. We need to think righteously. Think God's thoughts. He says that scoffers will come in the last days. If we're not in the last days, I don't want to be here when the last days come. I tell you that. If the scoffers are going to get any worse than they are today, I don't think I want to be here there. Scoffers are people who mock the truth. Their purpose is to discourage you from believing and holding on to that word that's implanted in you. Scoffers are big mouths. They're emotional bullies. They're trying to bully you into being quiet, sitting down. They don't care if you go to church, but just keep your religion in church. Well, that ain't what God called us to do. God called us to take our religion, take our relationship and go and influence this world. He says so much in these first 9 verses. It's just amazing. He said that you're mindful of the words which were spoken. This book is a compilation of the word that was spoken by prophets and apostles and by Jesus himself. And it's being attacked now. Scoffers are coming, saying you can't hang on to that. And the word which he's going for is that he's coming back again. And he says, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, no, you can't believe that. You know, you guys have been saying that for 2,000 years that Jesus is coming back. And scoffers are saying, that's just, you missed it. That's not right. The apostles were preaching. As soon as Jesus died, they started preaching, Jesus is coming back. We're 2,000 years closer, guys, is all I got news for you. We're closer to the coming of Jesus. And it's a glorious thing for the believer. Not so great for the unbeliever. The Word of God holds our entire world together. Now, most Christians understand that God spoke this world into existence. But what they don't understand is that word is still out there. And that word that Jesus spoke, or that God spoke, and says, let it be, is still out there. and it's still holding things together. A few years ago, a few decades ago now, they invented a new telescope called the Hubble telescope. Heard of it? And it could see so much further in the sky into the expanse. And you know what they discovered? They discovered that the universe is still expanding. Now, to most of us, we scratch our head and think, wow, wonder why? Because the Word of God spoke it. Let there be. And He didn't ever say stop. And by the power of the Word of God, the universe, you can't see it and I can't see it, but the universe is still expanding because the Word of God is that true. And the Word of God has spoke several things into your heart and into my heart that is true. And I don't care who scoffs at it. I don't care who mocks it. The Word of God is true, and let every man be a liar. The Word of God is true. So when He speaks something into your soul, it's so. Don't you let go of it. Psalms 33, verse 6 through 9, it says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Isn't it amazing how powerful our God is? You know, sometimes because of the intimacy of which God is to us, we make Him a little smaller than what He really is. Do you understand that statement? Because we know Him, we want to make Him like one of us. He's not one of us. We're made in His image. He wasn't made in our image. He is so much greater. He not only spoke the world into existence, but by the power of His Word, the world stays in existence. One day He'll speak another word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, it's a quote out of Isaiah, and it says, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. You can believe the word of the Lord. The word, you ain't getting it. The word of the Lord stands forever. It will come to pass. We can live our life. We can base our life on this word. And then in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 and verse 14, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word that spoke the world into existence became flesh. And that Word, the Word of God, is now Jesus. Therefore, you can believe the words that come from Jesus' mouth, because it is the Word of God. You know, the Bible says that He never spoke a thing that He didn't hear His Father say. He only spoke what God told Him. He was so cautious with His words. Oh my, for a church, for a group of people that would be cautious with our words. I believe that when we begin to get cautious with our words, when we take literal what God has said about the Word, the power of life and death is in the tongue. When we take that verse and we take it literal and we start watching our words, He says, set a gate over my mouth. When we do that, then we begin to do like God and speak things, and they will exist. They will come. You see, made in the image of God means that He gave us that power to speak things. Adam named every animal, and it was named whatever he called it. That was the power of His Word. We're still calling giraffes giraffes today because Adam said, that's a giraffe. Do you realize how stinking intelligent Adam had to be? God didn't create a dummy. He created a man. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, this is about Jesus. He says, who being the brightness of His glory. Think about that. He's talking about Jesus. And He said He's the brightness of God's glory. The express image of the person God. And upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had Himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When you read the story of the crucifixion, you need to read three words very important to us. Those three words that were spoken on the cross that says, it is finished. He completed the work that God had set before Him. The power of His Word. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, He says, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. Everything revolves around Jesus. Now the world don't understand that. And unfortunately, most Christians don't even understand it. Bible says, in Him we live and move and have our being. I'm telling you guys, we're too focused on too many things. We need to get our focus off everything else, put our focus on Jesus. In Him we move and we live and we have our being. This is not the time to listen to the scoffers who says you can't put all your eggs in one basket. You need to diversify yourself. No, we need to stop diversifying ourselves. We need to come back to the cross and says it is about Jesus. By the power of His Word, the authority of His Word, all things consist. So when you have a problem, you don't look to the IRS. You don't look to the government. You don't look to mom and dad. You look to Jesus. He says something so incredibly important. He says that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. What in the world does that mean? It means God is timeless. I know your mind is like my mind. We can't fathom that. Everything operates by the clock, right? We get up by a clock. We go to bed by a clock. We eat by a clock. We do everything. And when we don't have a clock, we got a calendar. We are extremely time conscious. Babies are born in 9 months. Everything is by a clock or a calendar, a set of time, but not God. God doesn't operate by your clock. You see, before time began, God was. And when time ends, God will still be. Now that's hard, I know. Come on. What are you talking about, preacher? I don't know what I'm talking about, to be honest with you. I just know I heard that when I was a kid. It sounded pretty smart. What are you talking about? I'm telling you today, God's not on our timetable. You see, you may be thinking you've been waiting to see God answer a certain prayer request, and man, I've been waiting for months, and God says it's only been 2 seconds. What are you talking about waiting? I don't understand that concept. You see the next verse? He says, God is not slack concerning His promises to us. Christians, wake up. You get God off the clock. And you take this verse, and you take this verse deep into your soul. You memorize this verse, and you don't let go of it. God is not slack concerning His promises to us. What He said, He will do. If He doesn't, He's a liar. And I got news for you. Our God is not a liar. Our God is true. There are people in this world that are very disappointed with God because He did not do something that they thought He should have done. And I got news for you. I don't have the answer for that. I'm not that smart. I know we all suffer persecution and we all go through things that we don't understand. But I do have something to tell you. Don't give up on God. He's not slack concerning His promises, even when you don't understand it. You can trust Him. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is and who was and who is to come? The Almighty. Isn't that amazing? God will fulfill His promise to us. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Christian, listen to this. Let not your heart be troubled. There are many people, when they hear the coming of the Lord, they get scared. If you are a child of God, He's got you. Don't worry about it. I can't tell you what death is like. I've never been there. I've never died. I can't really tell you what having a baby is like because I ain't never had a baby. I don't plan on it. So sometimes when we go through things that we don't really, we've never been there, never done that, we're scared. And that's why He says, don't be scared. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to Myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. He's already gone. We're waiting for Him to come back. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. And if you'll notice, it doesn't say promises. It says promise. And I wonder about that. Why didn't you say promises? He said, promise. I believe the promise is the Word. I believe you can bundle it all up and say it's all the Word of God. He's not slack concerning the Word that He spoke to you. I got to thinking about that. And I thought, I love Psalms 103. Many of you know it. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. So He says that He forgives of all of our sins, all of our iniquities. He said, that's a promise of God. I will forgive you of all your sins. He says, I will heal you of all your diseases. We're pressing our luck, aren't we? Don't forget, the Lord's not slack concerning His promises. His promise, His Word. He says that He redeems your life from destruction. I love that. The picture of redemption is a slave being sold off the block and being bought off the block. The slave that had no life all of a sudden gets purchased and his freedom is purchased. Now he's a free man. See, we were slaves to sin until Jesus redeemed us. I'm going to make a statement that I want you to get. There is nothing that can hold you in bondage. There's no drug. There's no sin. There's no past that can hold you in bondage. You have authority over it all. So if you smoke and you don't want to smoke, quit saying you're addicted to smoking, because you're not. You're just still enjoying it. And when you get tired of it, you'll lay it down and you'll take authority over it. You don't believe me? If a doctor comes in and tells you you smoke one more cigarette, you're going to die. You'll lay it down. How about a drug? I'm addicted to cocaine. No, you're not. I know we think we are. You know, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. No, sir, not when you meet Jesus. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. You may have to still walk in dominion in it, over it. But again, that's the world that has influenced our thinking. There is nothing. There is nothing more powerful than a child of God. That the Word of God is moving. And are you getting this? Once we understand who we are in Him, you have the power of life and death in your tongue. So quit speaking death. Start speaking life. Start blessing and quit cursing. He redeems our life. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now think about this. He's forgiven our sins. He's healed us. He's redeemed us. And this fourth thing is just for us to enjoy. Those are the necessary things. I got to deliver them from their sin. I need to heal them and I need to redeem them. But this last one, He crowns you with loving kindness. Did you have to have that? No. It shows the blessing of God. Does this make sense? It shows that God loves His children so much. He says, I don't have to give you this one, but I want to give you this one. I want to crown your life with loving kindness. I want your life to be good. And tender mercies. When I think of tender mercies, I think of a mama breastfeeding her baby. That tender love that only a mama can give. Number five, He says He satisfies your mouth with good things. He satisfies you with good things. He wants you to enjoy. He wants you to eat of the blessing. And number six, He says your youth is restored like the eagle. You know, they say that an eagle goes through a process where he loses all of his feathers and he looks, is it called a molting? The molting process? And they said, man, if you ever see them in that process, they look ugly. Oh, they look like they're just about to die. But what is happening is after they shed all that, then they regrow these feathers and they look like the proud peacock that they are. They look like a young man again. You realize that's what the Lord wants to do for you? Can you believe it? Can you wrap your mind around it? See, I think it's like Sister Sue said, all the promises of God are conditional. If you can't believe it, you can't have it. But if you can believe it, it's yours. It's yours. So those are some of the promise of the Word that I thought about. We have got to stay close to the base of His Word. Do you remember growing up? I remember going to my grandma. Now, grandma had 15 children. And she was still having kids when her daughters were having kids. So I had lots of cousins. I mean, lots of cousins. And we would go to grandma's house at certain times of the year and we liked to play hide and seek once it got dark. Remember that? And there were certain people, we'd go on the front porch and somebody would go out into the dark and they'd say, okay, I'm going to count to 100, you go hide. And if I catch you, you're it then. And there were certain people that would never leave the base, right? You remember the little chicken girls that we can't get so far. But there were certain guys that would go really far, especially if they thought they were fast, because they'd get back to base. And you were safe when you got to base. And I started to think that's the way the church is today. There's certain people that stay pretty close to the base because they know they're safe at base. But there's other of us that think we're sort of fast, sort of clever, can do it on my own. I can hide and you'll never find me. And we'd venture out pretty far from that porch only to find out that the guy calling the number is a little faster than we are. The scoffers. You see, the scoffers are being motivated by the devil, trying to lure you away from the base. And once you get far enough away from that base, he's going to tag you. And when he tags you, you know you're it. Because it's going to hurt. And it's going to sting. And it may take you a long time to get back to base. It may take you a long time to get back the things you lost. We got to hang on to the Word of God. That's all I came to tell you today. The Word of God is holding this whole world together. It's holding you together, whether you know it or not. The Word of God is more powerful than any two-edged sword. And He says, I am not slack concerning my promises. There are things that you have given up on, dreams of the past, that God never wanted you to give up on, that He'll still fulfill in your life, if you can believe it. If you can get this word in your soul, my Jesus is the Word of God. And He is not slack concerning the promise of God. You see, we're all pretty good with salvation. We're all pretty safe there. We're pretty good at saying, I believe that I'm saved and I'm saved. But some of this other stuff, some of this stuff about redemption and healing, and the tender mercy, and being crowned with loving kindness, and being renewed. Some of that's a little harder to believe. Because see, we've been brought up with the salvation message. I wish I knew how many times that you have heard a salvation message. It's probably literally thousands of times you've heard a salvation message. But many Christians are starving when it comes to redemption. Do you realize God can take the things of your past that you absolutely blew, the hurt and the pain, and He can turn it for good if you can believe the Word of God, if you will stay true to His Word. He holds everything by the power of His Word. In Psalms 119, verse 49, He wrote this, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. That's very personal. He's saying, God, remember the word that you spoke to me that caused hope to come in my life. Because I'm hanging on to that word. I'm not giving up on that word. Do you realize how powerful that is when you play it back for God? When you say, God, you promised me this. It caused me to hope. I'm not giving up on it. And you said you're not slack. I know your timing is not my timing. I know we operate under a different timetable. But I am going to believe you. I am going to believe in the power of the Word. I have something I want to show you, a video, maybe some of you have seen it. It's by this guy, Louis Giglio, and it's on laminin. Many of you probably have seen it, but it shows how literally how we're being held together by the Lord. Got it?
And I'll tell you how you can know tonight that God will always hold you together, no matter what. It's by looking a little deeper into the human body, and it's a little protein molecule called laminin. And that's about what I felt the first time I heard that. Long story short, the tour was winding down last time around. We were in Tyler, Texas. The night was over. A guy walks up to me. I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was so of God. Introduces himself to me, says, "How are you doing? I just want to say hello." I said, "It's nice to meet you." He says, "You guys winding the tour down. Where are you going to go from here?" I said, "Well, I'm on my way back home to Atlanta, Georgia." He said, "Well, what's next for you?" I said, "I'm going to be preaching the next two Sundays for my pastor back in Atlanta." He said, "Oh, cool. What are you preaching on?" I said, "Well, the series is on the glory of God and the human body." He said, "That's really amazing. I'm a molecular biologist at the university down the road. Give me your talk." And I was like, "Oh, wow." I wasn't quite yet ready to unload the talk for a molecular biologist. So I kind of stumbled through what I had, and he's kind of being kind and gracious and like, "Uh-huh, that's good." And then he says, "Well, what's your big left hook? You got to have a left hook, a big finish, right?" I said, "I don't have a left hook yet." He said, "Oh, Louis. Oh, man, your left hook is laminin." And I'm totally blank on laminin. And he goes, "Louis, it's a cell adhesion molecule. Protein molecule? Do you know about proteins?" I'm like, "No." He said, "Louis, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body. But one of them is a cell adhesion molecule. It's organized into this certain structure, and that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And this one is a cell adhesion molecule." And I'm like, "All right." He said, "No, Louis, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel they put in the concrete when they lay the foundations of things, it's that stuff. It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louis. It's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin." And I'm like, "I promise you, I'm going home and tell them about laminin. And I'm sure when I do, revival is going to sweep across the church and probably around the world when I tell them." He said, no. "You got to see laminin." I'm like, "Okay, let's see it." He said, no, "You need to go look it up online. You need to go Google laminin." I don't even know how to spell laminin. Takes his card out. He writes on the back, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I'm like, "Okay, I cannot wait to get to my computer and get on Google, click on images, type in laminin," and I'm waiting, and these little thumbnails come up on the screen, and I'm like, "That's laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. Woo!" I am so excited. I am beside myself. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin, I guess. That's the thing, right? Okay. Here is a scientific diagram of the laminin cell adhesion molecule that's holding your body together right now. Okay, this is what I found right here. No, come on, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I just can't believe it. I emailed that guy back so fast, I'm like, wow, what in the world? He said, "You want to see an actual laminin molecule?" I'm like, "Oh no, man, the diagram was cool for me. I'm happy with that. Don't bother sending anything else." I'm like, "Yes!" And he sends me this image, an electron microscopic image of an actual laminin protein molecule. It looks just like this. How crazy is that? That the stuff that holds our bodies together, that's holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I'm thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. You know this beautiful passage where Paul's talking about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. He says, "For by Him," talking about Jesus Christ, "all things have been created, things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus." But then the next verse goes on to say this. It's crazy. "And He," Jesus, "is before all things. And in Him," that is, in Jesus Christ, "all things hold together." That's right. It's right there. I'm like, of course they do. Of course they do. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. And he goes on at the end of this paragraph, and he just tells the story of grace. He says, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to Himself all things by making peace through His blood shed on a cross."
Pretty amazing, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, is with God. And in Him, He became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And He is not slack concerning His promise to us. He said that one of these days, "I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle." He's coming back, guys. Scoffers will come. Mockers will come. And they'll say, "You can't believe the Word. It doesn't make sense." It does make sense. Everything we are, everything we have, is held together by the Word of God. The very world, the very earth that you're walking upon, is held together by the power of the Word of God. Don't you tell me God's a liar. Don't you tell me that you cannot base your life on the Word. It's the only thing you can base your life on. It's the only way to live life. Live it in Him. With every head bowed, there are more versions of that. If you want to Google that, Laminin, you'll see Louis Giglio. You can get a longer version of it. He goes into more detail, but that's the gist of it. Isn't that amazing? That the very molecule, the very protein molecule that holds us together is in the shape of a cross. How so many people miss the work on the cross. If you understand the word that I'm speaking to you today, depression should leave. Hopelessness should be shattered. Dreams and visions should come alive. If you're not living for Jesus, I don't mean this badly, but at this point in time, you ought to feel like an idiot. Like, how could I not live for Jesus? Why would I not live for the one that's holding this whole world in existence by the power of His Word, who literally holds my life together? If you're away from Him today, now is the time to call upon the name of Jesus. And He will hear your cry. He will restore the joy of your life and the joy of your salvation to Him. Now is the time to set your priorities back in order, with Him being number one. I'm telling you guys, the scoffers have shaken up the church. They really have. You feel it in your spirit. The church is shaken. But I got news for you. When Jesus comes back to the earth, will he find faith on earth? Absolutely. God has always had a remnant of people that has stayed true to his word. And I, for one, am going to be part of that remnant. I believe, statistically speaking, we could already see that we have seen the great falling away. Not only in America, but across the world. It may get worse, but we have seen it. While some are falling away, others are coming in because they're seeing what living in this world really is all about. It doesn't take you long to see it. Many people have to go the way of the prodigal. But it's time you stand up in the pig pen and you say, in my Father's house, the servants eat better than I'm eating. And I'm ready to go home. If anyone's here today and says, I played the role of the prodigal, now it's time for me to come home. Pastor, would you pray for me with an uplifted hand? Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you to come home. God bless your heart. God bless you. Anyone else? I'm ready to come home. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else that says, he hasn't been Lord. He hasn't been Lord. Then for the rest of us, I hope that you've been challenged today to go back to the basics of our belief in the Word of God. And don't you let anybody push you off base. Don't you get away from base. And base is hanging on to that Word. Father God, I pray for these folks that raise their hands. Lord, there's a spirit of repentance in their heart as they're repenting and saying, Lord, I need to come back. I've ventured away from the base and I need to come back. I probably have been tagged a couple of times and I'm a little sore where they tagged me. Still stinging probably. But Lord, I come back to you to be your servant, to be your son. Accept me. And I want to tell you, by the power of the Word of God, he does accept you back. He is tickled. Right now, he's calling for the ring and for the robe to dress you back like a son. So don't beat yourself up any longer. Push that out, because now you've been restored to sonship. So now operate like a son. Speak the word over your own life. Hang on to the word. And don't let the scoffers move you. Father God, I just pray and speak a blessing over these people. Thank you, Lord, for your word of encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would stand with me.